On page 1160, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. So page 1160, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Blessed be the word of God.
Thanks for reading that, Judy. Good morning, everyone. This is the last in our devoted series. We'll start a new series in Ruth next week. And then we'll have other series as the year rolls on. But yeah, this is the end, devoted to prayer. We've looked at being devoted to the apostles' teaching, being devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. This is the final one, but let's pray and ask for God's help as we get into it. Father, we thank you so much that we're able to gather together and that we have this access to you called prayer. We pray, Father, that you would help us to come to you more often, that we just wouldn't hesitate to come to you, and that as a result of this message, hearing this message, that we would be blessed and encouraged and strengthened in our desires to come to you with everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever considered how weird prayer is as a concept. We speak to God about things that he understands far better than we do, using words that he knew we would use before the creation of the world. And yet it's still something that we do. It's weird when you think about it that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and yet he tells us to speak to him about the things going on in our lives. It's weird historically, from a philosophical side point of view, for a religion to have this direct access to God. It was not common in the ancient world that you would be able to speak directly to the gods. They weren't interested in human beings. But we have direct access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer works. It brings us closer to God. And yes, it even changes what happens in the world. It's something that the church has been devoted to from the beginning. Jesus was devoted to prayer in his earthly ministry. The apostles were devoted to prayer. And as we'll see from Ephesians chapter 6, we're called to be devoted to prayer as well. The first part of verse 18 is what we're going to look at to start to begin with. And Paul says that we should pray in the Spirit. We should pray in the Spirit. And it's amazing that he does that because, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be hard to pray. Who here finds it sometimes hard to pray? It can be for a whole host of reasons. It might be because we lack discipline, right? We might not be able to focus for any length of time on prayer. Constant distractions coming at us, trying to get our attention. Some of you have lots of children and probably find it difficult to have any time to yourself. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. We don't know how to petition God. Sometimes we don't even know what the best outcome will be. Have you ever prayed for someone and you're actually not sure? Maybe they're in their late 80s and they're on the edge of eternity and you're like, well, they're a believer and I don't know, do I pray for them to live or do I pray for them to go peacefully? I don't know. This is where praying in the Spirit is helpful. Because Paul doesn't mean a special kind of prayer here, like that's a top shelf version of prayer. There's standard and gold editions. Praying in the Spirit means not praying in your own strength. Praying in the Spirit means not praying in your own strength. Praying in the Spirit means praying with the guidance, the inspiration, and the help of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who is in us, who calls out, Abba, Father. Which means it's only by the Spirit that we can approach our God as a loving Father who gives good gifts to His children. Romans 8 tells us that in those moments where we are lost for words, where we don't know how we ought to pray, the Holy Spirit within us cries out with groanings that cannot be put into words. We sang in one of those songs the line, ineffably sublime. If you don't know, ineffably means unable to be put into words. The Holy Spirit cries out in us ineffably to God. I don't think this means what some might say, that praying in the Spirit in this passage means praying in tongues. In 1 Corinthians, there's definitely a connection between praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. But here we're told that praying in the Spirit should be done with all kinds of prayers and petitions. It is pretty hard to do that if you are not aware of what you're praying. Praying in the Spirit is the opposite of praying in our own strength. And that's where most of us struggle, I think. We push ourselves, we wait until we feel like praying. And both of those things are mistakes. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance and help in order to pray. And we might think, I don't know if I really need help. Prayer doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you need God's help in order to do. After all, as I mentioned to the kids, praying is just talking to God. It's not like most of us need help in order to talk. You can keep your smart comments to yourself. Let me ask you, do you need God's help in order to live a godly life? Do you need God's help to raise children? Do you need God's help to love your spouse and protect your marriage? All spiritual practices need spiritual help. If that's true, if you need help in any area, other area of your life, then we need the Spirit's help in this one in order to pray. So I said we need the Spirit's help, but we also need the Spirit's guidance. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit will tell us what to pray about? Yes. Yes, it does mean that. I think we can be a little bit scared of this kind of thing because we don't want to add to Scripture. We don't want to get into the weird and woolly world of Revelation. And it does get weird really fast. But how many of us have felt, just randomly, out of nowhere, the burden to pray for somebody? I don't know where this came from. I just need to pray for that person, and you do. Maybe it's just a feeling. Maybe it's nothing. It happens regularly, doesn't it, that when we do pray for people in that moment, they actually needed it. Some time ago, Shelley felt a burden to pray for her friend Andre, who lives in America. And she just, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and she prays for Andre regularly, but just out of nowhere, just needed to pray for her and her safety in particular. Well, it wasn't long later when we got a call from Andre, and she was telling how she'd gone to Paradise, California, this sort of woodsy area, and there was a wildfire. She didn't know it at the time, but she was in the Paradise area. And all of a sudden, Andre just felt this uncomfortableness. Like, I was going to be here for the whole week, but I can't stay now. I need to go back to San Francisco. She heads back to San Francisco the very next day. Fire sweeps through incredibly fast. And she knows that if she was there, she would be dead. Now, we should be open to this kind of thing. Let the Holy Spirit not just help our prayers, but guide them too. Sometimes you just need to wait for God to tell you how to pray for somebody. Pray in the Spirit. The second point is that we should pray on all occasions. Verse 18 again, chapter 6, says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions." The Bible's basically telling us that there is never a bad time to pray. There is never a time when prayer is not a good idea. Are we on our own? It's a great time to pray. Are we having coffee with a friend? It's a great time to pray. Are we meeting in a group? Guess what? It's a great time to pray. Oh, but I don't want it to be weird. What are we talking about? If we're meeting with other believers, should it ever be weird to pray with other Christians? Now, we can make it weird, obviously, through sort of weird language and formality. Like I was saying, you don't have to close our eyes and we don't have to bow our heads in order to pray. You don't need to have a special face when you pray. You've seen prayer face, the kind of screwed up and all serious. We don't need to pray in weird language. Talk to God like you would talk to a friend, because he is. And you know what? There isn't a minimum amount of time to spend in prayer too. Jesus, help, is just two words. But I guarantee you those two words have moved mountains. It's not just the setting and the company that make up all occasions, but the circumstances as well. And I think one of the biggest problems we face is that we are much quicker to pray in times of great need than in times of plenty. Nothing dulls spiritual fervor than wealth and comfort. It can be hard, can't it, to recognize our dependency on God on the deck of our brand new yacht. Most of the time, we are unaware of our breathing. It just happens. Sometimes if you think about your breathing, you suddenly become aware of it, and then you kind of have to think about breathing. But we, most of the time, we expend absolutely no energy telling ourselves to breathe, and yet we are totally dependent on it. If our breath were to stop, if our lungs were to stop functioning, that'd be it. We are completely dependent on the air and our lungs working in order to live. And in the very same way, we are completely dependent on God for every breath. Even when we aren't thinking about it. We're no more dependent on God when we are ill and asthmatic and struggling to breathe than we are every day when we don't even think about it. Friends, pray on all occasions. Praise God for good things. Pray for others that they might share in your joy. Come to God in the low times and cast your cares on Him. Pray when you're in a fight with your spouse or kids. That's all occasions. Don't use that as a tool or a weapon to defuse an argument. But pray for wisdom to see how important the issue really is. Pray on all occasions. Praying all kinds of prayers. Verse 18 again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds. Do you know in the Bible there are actually different types of prayers mentioned? The first type of prayer that I'm going to go through is gratitude, prayer of thanksgiving, where we simply take the time to acknowledge that God has been the source of all good things. It's often commanded in Scripture, you'll see particularly in the Psalms, give thanks to the Lord. Gratitude is an incredibly powerful thing. Thankfulness reorients the way that we view the world. Thankfulness can actually reorient the way you see your current circumstances. If you're thankful, even in the hard times, it can reorient our view of how our lives are actually going. There are scientific studies that show the benefits of gratitude. But it's just plain good manners, isn't it, to thank the giver of good gifts? I think we would thank ourselves if only we took more time to thank God. Prayer of thanks is the first kind. The second kind is intercession. Intercession. Intercessory prayer is prayer made on behalf of somebody else. The idea is standing in the gap between God and another human being, making the case for God to bless them, making the case for God to save them. The focus of intercessory prayer is the needs of others. This prayer puts us in the place of begging God to help somebody else. That's intercessory prayer. There's another kind that's mentioned in scriptures. Imprecatory prayer. Have you come across that term before? Imprecatory prayer is a prayer for evil people to be stopped. This is the one that we are probably least comfortable with. Because in the Bible, imprecations often take the form of physical destruction. And normally we wouldn't sort of think about praying like that, would we? We would normally say, no, we just want that person to be saved. We don't want them to be destroyed. But maybe the things that are happening in the world at the moment kind of make us think, actually, there is a place for this kind of thing. It's a prayer that says, destroy the enemy. May their soldiers kill each other instead of us. Disable their machines, Lord, and wreck their plans. Now, of course, we want everybody to believe. We don't want anyone to go to hell. But if there was ever a time for imprecatory prayer, it is when somebody is coming to kill you and your family. Imprecatory prayer. But there is a fourth kind, and it's a petition. That's a standard prayer where we request something from God, and that one's very familiar to us. So familiar that I don't even really need to explain it. But can you see how helpful it is to be told by the apostle to pray all kinds of prayers and requests? Because otherwise we'd just make these petitions, we'd just make these requests. And we should bring our requests to God. We can go boldly before the throne of grace because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We should cast our cares on him because he cares for us. But the danger of petitions is that they can be the only kind of prayer that we pray. That our focus will be almost entirely on ourselves and what we want and what we want God to do. And as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, we're called to see the other people's needs as more important than our own. I love that definition of humility that says that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And humility in prayer is praying all kinds of prayers and not just petitions for ourselves. And finally, praying always. Finally, we're told to always keep on praying. Verse 18 again. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Never stop praying. Pray at all times and in all circumstances. Now, this one's an interesting one because it does seem to run up against something that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Remember Jesus' instructions on prayer. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The pagans at that time, the pagans that Jesus is talking about, would pray loudly. They would pray very loudly, but often their words would just be nonsense, rambling, syllables being repeated over and over. And it makes sense if you understand their worldview. We're used to the idea of a loving God who's actually interested in what we have to say, but in most religions, the creation of humanity was an accident. In the Greek pantheon, the Greek religion, there was a fight amongst the gods, and the leftover pieces from that battle are what created humanity. The different religions had different versions of that, but basically humanity is an accident. Or they were created in order to feed the gods as slaves. But not as the special creation, as a loving thing that God actually wanted to spend time with people. Now, in the Greek pantheon particularly, the gods did their own thing. They were running around, getting up to hijinks, doing their own thing, murder, whatever. They weren't particularly interested in the lives of people. And yet, the gods were powerful, and so it made sense to try and get their attention by any means possible. And so you would babble loudly, you would make a noise and hopefully get their attention and make them just a little bit sick of you so that they might do what you wanted. Back in the day, I used to busk in the Launceston Mall, good times. And almost without fail, somebody would make a joke about, hey, how about I pay you to shut up? And at those times, I'd just sing louder. But our God isn't like that. He doesn't have to be badgered into answering prayer. That's pagan thinking. God doesn't have to have his arm twisted. That's non-Christian nonsense. Jesus tells us that he knows what we need before we ask him, and not to think that we'll be heard because of our many words or the volume of our prayers. Prayers don't need to be repeated over and over again. It doesn't need to be said with this kind of I decree and declare stuff. The volume and the theatrics aren't needed. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a place for passion in prayer. I don't have a problem with crying out to God and even, yes, in a loud voice. But not because we think we'll be heard by doing so, but because it's a genuine expression of how we feel. So if we're not heard by our many words, if speaking repetitively is something Jesus says not to do, then what does Paul mean when he tells the Ephesians to always keep on praying? Well, he means don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying for the saints. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on that thing that you're praying for. Don't give up on the one thing that God has placed on your heart. Don't give up on that person who's yet to put their faith in Jesus. It's not necessarily the case that God isn't going to answer our prayers. It's just that we haven't seen the answer yet. Keep on praying. Keep coming to God in prayer. It might take weeks. It might take months. It might take even years. It might even take generations to see the thing that you're praying for. But don't give up, because God knows how to give good gifts to his children at just the right time. When his children ask for bread, God does not give a stone. Keep on praying. You know, the thing I think about is I wonder how often and how long people were praying for the emperor of Rome to be a Christian. From the earliest days of the church, when the church was coming under sporadic persecution, and then there was a season, probably 150 years, of formal persecution where you could be a Christian, but if you were denounced and refused to deny Christ, then you were put to death. How often had people prayed for that law to change? How often had people prayed for the emperor to become a Christian? They might have been praying that for 300 years. And then along comes a guy called Constantine, who was riding one day and had a vision of the cross. And whatever you think about his conversion, he ended persecution in the Roman Empire and was eventually baptized himself. Keep on praying. Always keep on praying, and we will be amazed by what God does. It's a very weird thing to pray. It's weird that the God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand, for whom 1,000 years is like a day, would be in any way interested in our input or thoughts or concerns, and yet the Bible tells us that he is. God is so loving and gracious that he bends his ear to us lowly and finite creatures, so that we might speak and be heard by the God of the universe. God's given us a great gift. So let us obey his word and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and petitions, always. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this method of speaking to you. And I'm sorry, Lord, that sometimes, even while I'm speaking to you, I get into kind of a pattern and I maybe pray repetitively. But Father, you've called us just to speak to you like a friend, because you have made us your friends because of Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for this valley that we live in. I thank you for the peace that we enjoy. But Father, I pray so much more that peace would be something that the people of the Huon Valley know, peace with you. Father, we pray that we might bring all things to you, come to you with all kinds of prayers and petitions. Father, may we, like the early church, be devoted to prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. We're going to sing again.